There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You were listening to Game Attack Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
I won this one. Come on.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 480. Busy Holes Godfrey, and this week we have Paris. What's going on, man?
Can you hear me? Yeah, what's going on?
What's up? What's going on, man? Having issues there?
A little bit of technical difficulties, but I think we're good. Obviously,
we're good?
If people are hearing this, then we must be good.
Yeah, that's true. And also we have Poston J this week.
What's up?
What's going on, Poston?
Not much. Chilling, hanging out. All smooth sailing on the SS Boston J today. Chilling. Waiting for Witcher 3 like everyone else in May.
That game is coming very, very soon. And I believe there's a couple people that already have the game early. So they've been trying to stream on Twitch. But Twitch is not having it, man.
I don't want to watch some laggy, pirated version of Future Masterpiece.
I watched about 5 minutes of a stream earlier when I was at work, and the ninjas got in there and cut that down quick.
And that's good though, because I really don't want to be I don't want to see spoilers at all. I want to be surprised when I'm playing, you know? Like the only thing that I got to see was Conan O'Brien. He reviewed the game, you know how it is. Like it's not serious or anything.
It was hilarious though. That was pretty hilarious. Funny.
Yeah, really, really funny. So that's the only video that I've seen. Like most of the time, you know, the E3 stuff or preview videos, but the majority, I just I stay away. I want to be surprised. I'm really, really excited about the game.
It's gonna be great. Can't wait.
Yeah. All right, guys, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it to listen to our past episodes and make sure to share it to your friends. You know, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, you know, everywhere. Just make sure to spread the word about GTR. And help us get more listeners, you know. Remember, you can also email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. The more you send us emails, the more conversation we're going to have at the end of the show. We're going to try our best to answer all your questions and feedback. Also, give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. So let's start with this news, because I think all of us thought about this since we were like little kids. The news was announced Nintendo announced this with Universal that they are planning to create rides and also attractions at Universal theme parks with all Nintendo characters and games and everything, man. So I like this idea. I've been thinking about this a very, very long time. And one of the things that I noticed the other day that I put it together is that for those that have never been to Universal Studios here in Orlando, in Florida, they have two parks that's part of the Universal. There's the original Universal Studios and there's Islands and Adventures, right? When you go to Islands and Adventures, they have the typical, Harry Potter and the Jurassic Park stuff. And right when you enter the park, they have Marvel, like a Marvel theme area where they have like the Spider-Man ride, the Hulk, and a couple of things. And the thing is, nobody knows the contract that they have with Marvel, which was before Disney bought Marvel. So I think the contract is coming up, or Disney's putting some serious money for them to just get rid of all those rides and take it to Disney And I think that's why Universal made this deal with Nintendo for this new theme park, which I think is going to be called Nintendo Land. I have a strange feeling it's going to be called like that. Now, here's the thing that I was like, wait a minute, hold on a second. Back in the days when Donkey Kong was got really, really popular, there was some lawsuit going on between Universal and Nintendo because of Donkey Kong and King Kong. So that took place for a while. I believe Nintendo won that lawsuit. They were like, nope, we're not going to get sued. This is our own character. It's not similar to the original movie from King Kong. This is like a totally different character and stuff. So I wonder, are they going to like probably do some ride maybe with both of them, King Kong and Donkey Kong? I mean, I don't know. Who knows at Universal? But that's pretty cool though, right? That they're doing this finally.
Yeah,
I can imagine the possibilities, man.
I mean, I haven't been down to, you know, that part of Florida since I was a kid, and this is probably the biggest thing I've heard in a while, making me really want to go down there and take a vacation. But I don't know what they could do. I kind of hope that it's not all rides dedicated just to young kids, because I'm kind of afraid of that. Because like,
no, it's not gonna be like that.
Yeah, that's not like about Universal Studios, because even though I was like, you know, maybe 13 when I went, I still felt that it wasn't a kiddie place. So if they can strike that good balance of, you know, having the younger rides, but also, you know, let's have some Nintendo roller coasters too, man, or something, you know, like a water park area, something that's all ages, I'm all on board. You know, as a person that lives, you know, only one state away from Florida, this is right up my alley. I'm excited.
And think about this. Just imagine the Donkey Kong ride, Mario Kart ride, maybe a Zelda thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like the Zelda. Anything. That sounds amazing.
Or even Mario World, like 3D World. Like, there's so many things they could do with this. F-Zero, like roller coaster, maybe like something super fast.
Oh, that sounds great
idea.
Dude,
I'm telling you, they could do the most craziest rides because they have so many cool characters. That, man, they could flip this big
Splatoon
time.
They gotta have like a paintball area for Splatoon, like paintball for kids. That sounds stupidly fun. Come on, Nintendo, like giving you ideas.
Yeah. What about you, Paris? Like, yeah, your thoughts about
as
this,
a parent, right? The only parent on the podcast right now, you put my kid in a paintball thing and they get all their clothes full of paint, I'm suing Universal. I'm just letting you know that right now. No, I mean it's a good idea, obviously, you know, to integrate Nintendo characters into a theme park setting and have, like you said, just have like a go-kart race that's a Mario Kart theme. Yeah. That'd be amazing to see. Like you said, they could cross-promote something with Donkey Kong and King Kong. That would be interesting as well. I mean, obviously, Mario being the mascot, there's a million different things they could do with Mario. They could have some Fantasyland thing going on with Zelda. I mean, there's a ton of different things that they can do. And like you said, the fact that they're losing all the Marvel stuff, I mean, they got to replace it with something, right? So getting Nintendo makes a lot of sense.
At first, when they announced this, people thought that they were going to build like a whole new era, Universal. And I believe there was somebody, I can't remember who it was, either was somebody from Nintendo or a reporter from Japan, said that no, they're not adding a new location at a new area for Universal. This is going to be somewhere that is already built. So
yeah, it's probably next door to Hogwarts or something. I imagine they're just using the same space.
Like what happened with the Harry Potter area, that used to be an old roller coaster ride, like about dragons. I can't remember the name of it back in the days. So the only thing that they did was they just build, like, you know, the theme of Hogwarts and the town, and they made that roller coaster as like a Harry Potter theme roller coaster. So I think that's what's going to happen with the Marvel area and Islands of Adventure, all Nintendo characters and rides and attractions. Like, dude, they could do some really cool stuff, man. I'm so excited and hyped. And once they launch, dude, I'm going there day one, man. Day one. And look, Nintendo, if you really want to make more money, make some like exclusive amiibos only for Universal. Not available nowhere else. Oh man, they could make some serious money, man. You know, some collectors, man.
Last week, I'm listening to the podcast and I heard Peter talking about Mack Weldon, and he was talking about socks. Well, I'm here this week to talk about Mack Weldon, and I'm talking about underwear. They sent me three pairs of their underwear, and I got to fully admit something. They are damn sexy. They're real sexy. My wife is loving this underwear that I'm wearing right now. She's like, you look good in it. And I look at her and say, I know I look good in it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, snap.
No, but it's funny because, you know, I never go out and try and get like fancy underwear or anything. But these Mack Weldon underwear, they're high quality. They're really good. They fit me like a glove. Great to wear. Just snug fit. Everything is great about them. So, you know, Pete was talking about the socks. You can also get undergarments, undershirts from Mack Weldon. Like I said, you can get the underwear from Mack Weldon. This is all top of the line quality stuff. And they bring the savings to you because they ship it to you directly. And let me tell you something about their customer service. These underwear, if they didn't fit me the way that I liked, I could get on the phone, call up their customer service, and they will send me a different size to let me try those on. Same goes for the socks. Same goes for the t-shirts as well. So you know you're going to get quality customer service from Mack Weldon. And if you use our code, which is GTR, they're going to give you 20% off your first order. It's a fantastic deal.
It's 20%, boy.
20%. It's absolutely nice. Worth it to try out Mack Weldon. So, Boston, did you order anything from Mack Weldon?
I did. Actually, this is a good opportunity. I ordered a shirt, which I'll probably receive in time for next week's episode. So I'll be able to tell you guys how the shirts feel. But based off of what I read online, it looks like it's probably the most comfortable shirt I'm going to own. Because it looks like they take their comfort very seriously. And as a person who's very particular about what t-shirts I'll wear, because a lot of gaming t-shirts are super uncomfortable, it's good to know that someone is making some high quality, you know, cotton t-shirts out there. So next week I'll have my shirt by then. I can let you guys know how it feels, but I'm excited. I haven't been this excited about getting a t-shirt in a long time just because I know it's gonna be comfortable when I get it.
Well, let me just say this before we go. If that t-shirt fits you like the underwear fits me, you're going to love that t-shirt. That's all I got to say.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, but again, Mack Weldon, check those guys out. Use our code GTR, get 20% off your first order. That is Mack Weldon.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Come on.
All right, so let's move on. The other day, we were, we always talk on our chat, and I noticed that Paris was pretty pissed off. He was, like, extremely mad. I'm like, dude, you're watching a stream of the new DLC for Destiny. Why on earth are you, like, you're so mad? And he said something about a live streamer hosting it, or I don't know the whole details, but Paris, please tell us what happened, why you were so mad that day.
Okay, so first and foremost, we're going to have some Destiny talk here. So you might want to fast forward 10, 15 minutes in the podcast if you don't want Destiny talk. So
yeah,
I got to be delicate about this because I want to be respectful.
Yeah.
Destiny, Bungie, did their live stream for the unveil of the Prison of Elders. Mm-hmm. You know, that's coming up for House of Wolves here on May 19th.
Yeah.
I was frustrated on a personal level, on a gamer level. I was frustrated because the stream didn't come off very well. Let's just put it that way. You had Deej, who's admittedly not that great of a player. And you had Matt Sammons, I believe that was his name. He was one of the design leads, you know, for House of Wolves, or even I think Prison of Elders specifically, playing the game. And the one thing Bungie has been doing when they've been over the last 3 weeks with these reveals, they've been bringing in Twitch community people, like Twitch personalities that, you know, that basically stream professionally. I think that's the best way to say it. Okay. First 2 weeks, I didn't mind at all. I mean, you know, they brought their own questions into it. They brought their own style into it as they were going through the different unveils. But the one this week, and I believe his name is Professor Broman. I don't know his real name, but that's his Twitch name.
Okay.
And look, I get it. It was the very first time he ever played the game. He was excited, but he was too excited. And it basically came down to him yelling and screaming over everything that they were trying to show during this unveil for Prison of Elders. I mean, literally, they showed off a new weapon. Matt tried to talk about it, and Broman started screaming over him. He just gave up. Look, they'll never admit it. I'll say it because I was watching with my own two eyes. Deej and Matt got frustrated at certain points during the thing. They just did. And I don't want to say that Professor Broman was doing this on purpose, whatever. I don't know the man. You know, look.
Now, when you say how old is this person?
He's an adult.
Seriously?
He's probably older than you.
Come on, man.
That's not the point here. Here's the point here. The point is, it was a bad way to get out that information. I mean, literally, since they couldn't get to the end of the waves of the level of Prison of Elders, because they tried for over an hour. I believe it was like an hour 20. They were trying to finish it, and they just simply could not finish it. Throw that in, the fact that they couldn't finish it, plus you had this person yelling and screaming the whole time because he was excited. Like I said, I was mad at the time because as a gamer, as a Destiny fan, I wanted that information. And like I said, I'm trying to be respectful about this because let me put myself in his situation. Personally, I would think that I would not sit there and yell and scream the whole time, but maybe I would. I don't know. You know what I mean? He is live on Twitch in front of hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, hell, that stream broke records for Twitch, you know, for people, you know, checking out a Twitch stream. So I sympathize with him, but I'm also frustrated at the same time because I think in the future, Bungie needs to fix that. They can't. Look, I encourage community members being able to go to Bungie, being able to see the game and being able to unveil it for the entire community. I applaud that. I want to see more of that. But there's got to be some ground rules set. I mean, I understand being excited about something, but temper your enthusiasm at least a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Look, man, I want to say a couple of things about that, Paris. Look, I have seen YouTubers and Twitch. Look, I subscribe to a lot of those YouTube channels that I like. You know, I'm not saying everybody's like this, but there's a lot of fake personalities that is really uncomfortable for me to watch. I can't really sit there and see these persons that they act one way in front of the screen, and then when you meet them in person, they're not like that. It's like a totally different person. You know what I'm saying? So when you're saying that he's screaming, is it that's his style?
I had no idea who this guy was until that unveil. So I don't know. Okay. I do know he is popular, though. See, that's the one thing. That's why I'm trying to not be disrespectful about this.
No,
he has his audience. He's very popular on Twitch. He does his thing. Yeah. More power to him. Keep doing your thing. My point is, I don't care what your personality is. I don't care what your community is, the persona that you may, you know, unveil when you're doing your own streams, but you're on Bungie's stream. Bungie's trying to show off a game. Don't scream over the people so we can't get the information. That's my only beef with that.
I think that's very disrespectful.
I think that's just common sense. Yeah,
but that's what I mean. I don't think he was purposely doing it. I really don't. I don't think it was on purpose. I think he got overexcited. And just kind of forgot where he was and forgot what the point of him being on that stage was for. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be, let's put it this way. It would be like Phil Spencer having Peter come up on stage with him at E3 and he's showing off the new Call of Duty and Peter's just screaming Sparkle in two pieces the whole time. You know,
but that's the thing. I don't see ourselves doing something like that. Like, I know there's a time, like we joke around all the time behind the scenes and on the podcast, but when it's time to be professional and just like, hey, I don't want to make the other person feel uncomfortable or whatever. We know when to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel that a lot of gaming companies are thinking like, wow, this person has 1 million followers. Let's invite them because we could get all those 1 million followers.
Yeah.
Maybe half of them probably will buy our game. Let's get, you know, even though this guy or this person, I'm not saying this one that you were talking about, but I'm just randomly saying like a YouTuber or a Twitch or even a podcaster, like, hey, let's get them in or her, she, and let's see if it works out. And then when they notice how it is, like when it's like the final product, like the final stream or whatever, I know at the end they'll be like, oh my God, I don't know that was a good idea at all, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel that it's like companies should not concentrate so much on just the numbers of followers that person has. Look, I know a lot of that, like, I'll give you an example. Like, iJustine, she has a huge following, right? But she knows when she has to joke around. She does that like online, on YouTube. But when it's time to work and stream something live for like a company like Microsoft, which she's done a lot of live streams for them. She's professional. She knows she will let the next person talk. She doesn't scream and she has a huge following. You're trying to say like, that's the type of people that I would like to see because I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be like, damn, I have to switch the channel. I can't see this, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel really, really bad for you, Paris, because you were like really hype about this for a very, very long time. And it kind of kind of kill the vibe for a moment. I know you're still going to get it, but at the moment right there, you're watching the stream. I know you're feeling really, really uncomfortable,
right? Yeah, it was disappointing watching the stream. It was disappointing that Deej at the end had to tell me to go to a third-party site to get all the information. Because the thing was, Bungie invited a bunch of the streamers and YouTubers and stuff to come out and capture footage the week prior. So they were under embargo until that official unveil. So what happened was, when they struggled through that unveil and couldn't finish it, Deej had to then turn to the camera and say, all right, everybody out there, go to these third party sites and get all the information there. And see, and again, that was the frustrating part is I have Destiny themed sites that I like to go to. Like, I go to Planet Destiny and stuff like that all the time, which is fine.
Reddit, but the
point is, I'm on the Bungie stream. I should be getting the information from Bungie instead
of... And they did say that.
Yeah.
They were going to give you
instead of someone screaming at me the whole time. So that was my frustration. But I don't want to belabor on that too much. I'll just simply say, I mean, I am excited for the House of Wolves. And I feel that Bungie has listened to the community, and they fixed a lot of the gripes that people have had since it's launched out. Like I said, I took a break for a while. I jumped back in last week. I played Iron Banner. I got the gear from there. And I mean, I had a blast. It was fun. You know, I look at Prison of Elders. That looks fun to me. Trials of Osiris is going to be fantastic. I can't wait to do that. Hopefully.
No raids.
Prison of Elders basically is replacing it. Hmm. I mean, I want to get in too depth of all the features and everything, but it's almost like a horde mode, but it's at different levels, and that's where you're going to get your gear and that kind of stuff. From watching some of the other streams, it looks fun. It definitely looks like something I want to play. The Trials of Osiris is kind of the in-game content for PvP, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Like I said, we'll see with the story. I mean, who knows? Knock on wood, probably won't be anything too fantastic. And the fact that the biggest thing to me is they've listened and they've gotten back to what Destiny was originally supposed to be, where now all our gear and weapons, we can level everything up to 34. So whatever our favorite weapons are, we can keep using those. Whatever our favorite gear is, we can use that. So everyone isn't stuck wearing Crota gear, because you have to have the highest level gear if you want to take on the biggest challenges. You know what I mean? So now everyone can be unique now in Destiny. And I think that's the biggest thing that I'm excited to see. And I really don't know what I'm going to do on May 19th, because I'm going to be playing The Witcher. Confident. And I got to play Destiny at the same time. I already know I'm taking 2 days off from work.
So let me ask you this. Which one are you going to play first, The Witcher or Destiny?
I'm going to play The Witcher first, simply because House of Wolves doesn't come out until 10 a.m. Pacific on the 19th. So The Witcher 3, I'll be able to get it at midnight.
12:01. Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, if not earlier.
Oh, earlier. Yeah, we're trying. We're trying, guys. Because honestly, I want to, like, I know we have like a way how we review our games and stuff, you know, and we've been doing that now for a couple months. I feel that this game is so big that we should do like a roundtable discussion, like we did with Halo and how we did with like when Destiny came out. Like, I think that would be great instead of having that short 5-minute reviews, right? Because it's so deep and so long.
Oh, yeah. And we'll all experience different things, too. It's not all going to be the same cookie-cutter experience.
Exactly.
As soon as we get the open world, we're all going to take off in four different directions and have four different stories to tell.
And I would tell everyone, and I would also say to everyone listening to this, don't expect impressions from us probably for 2 weeks. I mean, I don't want to rush through this at all.
Game. You can't just take it to the face.
And I'll tell you this. I think that we're not even going to be done with the game after 2 weeks.
No, I know I won't, because I'm taking my time with that game. Yeah. I'm going to fully explore. I want to see the whole world. I'm not trying to rush to the end. Mm-hmm. I want to take my time and truly enjoy that game. I'll say this one last thing on Destiny, and then we can move on. Again, I'm on PlayStation 4. I'm Vicious696. I'm down to play with anybody. And when I was playing Iron Banner, thank you all the guys that jumped in with me and we're playing. We had a blast. And to the person that tried to jump in right when I finally got to rank 4 and I dropped out, I'm sorry. he was all excited to play. Yeah, let's go do this. And then I went and I turned in some bounties. I was like, oh, I'm rank 4. I'm out. Sorry.
Paris is so mean.
Yeah, but May 19th, man, as far as Destiny, I'm back in. So definitely hit me up. It'll be a blast.
Yeah, I'll be on.
Well, let's talk about this too, because there's only a month away for one of the biggest events that we always go to every year, E3 2015. going to be happening in LA. And I believe in a couple more weeks, we're going to be talking more about like our plans, what we want to do for the E3 this year. And and hopefully my goal is to make this the biggest E3 coverage that we ever made, even bigger than last year. Last year was pretty huge for us. So that's my goal. I'm not 100% if it's going to happen or not, but cross my fingers, you never know. So Sunday, I'm going to get there really, really early. And the reason why I'm going to get there early on Sunday, well, you live there. So. Potson, are you planning to get there Sunday morning?
Yeah, no? I'll be there early. I definitely want to go to what you're about to say.
I hope Pete gets there early because Sunday night, Bethesda's going to have their first E3 press conference ever. Now, a company may have like a press conference is because they have a lot of content. They have a lot of games to show. There's no way they're going to make one press conference for a game. It doesn't make sense. So I have a feeling that they are going to have a lot of games coming out for 2016 and beyond. I really doubt any games are going to be coming out this year. Maybe like a smaller game, not a triple A game, but Fallout, the new Fallout, it's coming. Fallout 4, it's going to happen.
Yeah, just a matter of when they plan on talking about it. Then money's all on that Sunday press conference, because why else would you take that whole time slot out?
Well, there is supposedly a rumor that there's going to be a 20 to 30 minute Fallout 4 gameplay footage at their press conference.
And that's huge, because I would only expect a trailer at this point, because that's just what I'm used to from E3, is just a fancy CGI trailer and be like, oh, I can't wait to play that when it comes out.
Yeah,
but gameplay with announcement, I mean, that's how you get people interested. That's how you make buzz. That's how you steal a show. Sorry,
you don't do an E3 press conference to, hey, by the way, guys, here's a trailer. All right, see you later.
Nah, yeah. Take care.
I would put that rumor, I would put it at 90%. It's going to happen. I just don't see, like I feel like the thing that I'm also excited from Bethesda is I feel like they're going to have a Dishonored 2. And they'll have a demo of that as well. I would think it's going to come out this holiday. I have a feeling, and, you know, call me Miss Cleo, it could be crazy, but I think they're going to reboot Quake. I think they're going to get Quake back to its roots and turn it into the arena shooter that it should be. I really think we're going to, because the fact that Bethesda, if it was just Fallout 4 and Dishonored 2, that's not enough to fill a press conference. I really think Bethesda has a lot of stuff that they're going to show us at this. So I just think those three, in my opinion, are givens. I would assume we're going to see something from the Doom universe as well.
Yeah, I was about to say Doom 4 seems more likely than Quake, although I like your idea, Paris. I think Quake deserves to come back, because if Halo 5 is going to be an arena shooter, why not put Quake against it? You know, why not
and
fight for
thing.
That audience?
Make Quake free to play. Make it free to play. Give us an arena shooter. Put it on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC. You know, like you see how Valve does with Team Fortress 2. It's mm-hmm. a free game. You just go get it. There's things you can buy, but you don't have to buy them if you don't want to. And you can go play Team Fortress 2, right? Do the same thing with Quake. I mean, it's basically what Epic is doing with Unreal Tournament now. Mm-hmm. The same concept. So why not jump into that? It's almost funny, you know, because Cliffy B with, what's the name of that? What is the code name now? I forget, but it doesn't matter. But the game that Cliffy B's working on right now, same thing. He's getting back to his roots. He's going back to arena shooters. I really feel like arena shooters are starting to have a renaissance right now. I mean, I don't necessarily know how hyped I am to jump back into all that kind of stuff, but, you know, with the rise of, you know, esports and streaming on Twitch and everything, arena shooters are just custom built for that. So, you know, I know we're tangenting off for a second, but yeah, I really hope that's what Bethesda has in store at their press conference for Quake. I want to see it.
Please, please, please show us some new IPs. Look, don't get me wrong. I'm excited for Fallout 4. I'm excited for, you know, for Halo 5 and all these other brand, you know, all these games that we know that's going to be coming out. Show us something new.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody, every company, you know, it's tiring seeing the same games every year.
Yeah.
You know, like, look, I'm not going to lie. When we went to E3, and we heard about Sunset Overdrive, I looked at Paris. I'm like, I don't know, man. I walked away. I don't get. But when I finally got the game, it was actually fun. A couple of years ago, same thing with Alan Wake. I saw in the press conference, I was like, eh. But when I got to play the game, it's one of my favorite games that I ever played from Remedy.
And you know what's funny? Like, and you know what's funny about that, Danny? I had the opposite reaction. When they first announced it, I was like, hey, man, Sunset Overdrive, this is great. All right, got to play it. Oh, man. Gosh darn it.
No.
That's how it goes.
But yeah, that's I really want to see some like new IPs from Bethesda. Definitely want to see that.
Yeah, I would think so. I would, like I said, I would think Fallout 4 is a given. Dishonored 2 is a given. I would probably something from Quake, something from Doom, new
Elder
IP.
Elder Scrolls Online for consoles. I mean, they'll go the whole
yeah, they'll
yards.
Show something off with that as well. So, I mean, just on the, if you got those five things of what we just said, five or six things, that's enough for a press conference for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe they have other surprises that we don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully no comedian host, though. Just
oh, please don't. Please. So we'll see. All right, guys, we're going to take a short break because we got to pay the bills. And once we come back, we're going to be talking about this DLC announcement of Batman, Arkham Knight, that they revealed a couple of days ago. Well, actually, like, what, 2 weeks ago? Something like that? Supposedly going to be 6 months of content, but, oh, man, the price, not feeling it at all. And also, Paris has a rant about third-party games. I am dying to hear what he has to say about this. And we also have fan mail. So we'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
The following messages come from Bombfell, the online personal styling service for everyday guys. Get matched with a stylist who helps real guys look great in their daily lives. I know, Pete, you're not a big mall guy, right? That you go to the retail stores, shopping and all that stuff, right?
Nah,
you like
really.
To get something comfortable, easier online, they send it to you at home, right? That's your type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. There's a service called Bombfell where it's really customizable. You go, give your height, weight measurements, and put the places that you shop, the type of style that you're into and everything. And based on your budget, they'll send you these packages. You will keep the ones that you like, and the ones that you don't like, you return them for free, and they only will charge you the one that you keep. And you could cancel at any time. This service is really flexible and it's simple to understand. They cover shipping, returns. There's no fees of any kind. Customers have 10 days to try their clothes they received. So for GTR listeners, go to bombfell.com. That's bombfell.com/GTR. Make sure to sign up and let us know about Bombfell.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back. And first of all, I would like to thank our sponsors. Thank you. You guys are helping us big time. And the listeners, please, please make sure to use the code. There's a lot of special, a lot of discounts. Use that because you're also saving money and also supporting us. But make sure to do that. So shout out to the sponsors, Paris, one more time. Very quick.
Thanks to DraftKings. I want to thank Mack Weldon. I want to thank Bombfell. And I want to thank Harry's.
All right. Awesome, man. All right. So the next topic is Batman DLC pass. They announced this price of the pass. Usually games comes out, it's like what, $59.99? I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. When you buy it, you know, games when they when a company announces that they have like a season pass, it's like what, $20 and stuff. When they announced this price for Batman, I was like, whoa, there's no way I'm gonna buy this. Forget it. I'd rather just play the single player game and I'm good with that. $40 for season pass?
I'm not getting it.
And we didn't even know what type of DLC or what stuff they're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, basically, we trust you. Here's my $40.
Well, they've come out and said what it is now, but even then, I'm still not paying $40 for that. I'll wait. No.
And I love Rocksteady. They're a great developer, and they're one of the few developers I would support with DLC, but I want to play my $60 game first, and you're asking me for $100 before it comes out. And let me see what your game is made up of. Conceptually, it sounds great, but let me play it and see how much content I'm getting out of it. And then I'll get back to you once I'm like, boy, I sure wish I had more Batman in my life. Oh, here's all this DLC. But the way it's put out before, I still get that fear in the back of my mind of how much of this stuff did not make it into the final version of the game because it was pushed back to add to the cost of you know, add to the value, I mean, of the $40 season pass. And that just really bugs me when it's announced this early. But then, yeah, that's the stigma of games.
I don't blame the developers. I think this is more of the publisher.
Yeah,
I think this is more the publisher.
The publisher drives it, absolutely. Yeah. They do the research, they do the marketing, they determine from a focus group that people would be interested in this. I'm sure a lot of people are interested in this, but I just don't want this to become more acceptable than it already is, because we've all griped about season passes, but they're here to stay, obviously. Nothing or Paris is going to say is going to change that. So you just have to be able to just make a stand with your wallet. You know, don't pre-order if you don't think the game is going to be what you want, and certainly don't pre-order a season pass if you haven't even played the actual game yet. But
here's what I've learned just when it comes to this DLC pack, season passes and all that stuff. Don't buy them right away, especially if it's single player. If it's multiplayer and you're really into that multiplayer community, I can understand you jumping in because you're going to want to have the latest maps and everything. You want to be able to play with your friends and do that kind of stuff. But if it's a single player experience, and I'm even throwing like The Witcher into this because obviously they announced their expansions and all that. If it's single player, wait and see if the content is actually worth picking up. And Batman Arkham City is actually a really good example of this, since we're talking about Arkham Knight, in that they had that Harley Quinn pack and you could play as Robin, you can do all that kind of stuff. All of it to me was terrible. It was not worth the price of admission at all. Thankfully, I got it all on discount because I waited until there was a Steam sale for it. So I didn't pay full price as it would have been if I bought it day one. And I can tell you just from that experience, I'm absolutely doing the same thing when it comes to this, the Batgirl DLC and all, you know, all the other little challenge maps and stuff that they're going to have that comes out with this for $40. No freaking way. I'll wait.
That's so much.
I will wait until there's a Steam sale on this and then I'll pick it up and check it out. But no. And even then, I'm going to go by word of mouth if it's even worth picking up. To me, a game should feel complete on its own. If I need DLC to complete my experience, then the publisher and the developer have failed me. That's the way I look at it.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Now, here's the thing, though, too, guys, like, you know, I know that this game is very, really popular. Everybody loves Batman. So I think that's the reason why the publisher, like, decide, like, you know what, let's raise it up. Let's put it $40. I know these hardcore fans are going to buy it. It has to be because of that. I mean, that's the most expensive DLC that I've seen so far for that particular type of game. Mm-hmm. You know, like, not even GTA. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's never been that way, that high. And another thing, too, is that I made a mistake when Bioshock Infinite came out. I was so hyped about that game, the reviews, and I finished the game and everything. Before I finished the game, it was like a couple hours in, I went to the store of Xbox 360, and I bought the season pass for Infinite. And guess what? The new consoles came out. I never went back to that console, and I never even got to play the season, the DLC. I think that was my mistake, my stupid self buying it. I just wasted $20.
Yeah, but you bought into the hype. So, I mean, you enjoyed the game as you played it. But yeah, I think that's my biggest problem is as someone who plays a ridiculous number of genres of games, I can never stick to one game long enough to justify spending extra money on top of the initial purchase price because I probably already moved on to the next game by then.
Well, I can even give you another example. Destiny. If you look at that DLC, it was $35, I think, or $30.
I thought it was just 30. Yeah, 30 came.
Might have been 30, but either way. Now, obviously, I got it. I bought into the hype, and I just bought that digital thing all at once on a PlayStation 4, and I think it came out to $89. I spent something like that. Was it worth it for me? Because I'm quote unquote one of the more hardcore players. Yes, it was worth spending that money to be able to have that experience. But for someone like Danny, or even like you, Pawson, that isn't playing it a crazy amount like me and Pete do, you'd be insane to spend that amount of money on. And especially now that all the Dark Below DLC maps are now going to be free because the House of Wolves is out. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you would have been wasting your money doing that if you'd have bought that all at once. So it really just depends on how dedicated you are into a gamer franchise. Now, I took that leap of faith and it worked out okay for me, but if Destiny wasn't that game for me, I'd be kind of pissed right now. And I think there, and as we know, there's a lot of people that are pissed about that because.
Well, can I say something about that though?
Yeah.
I bought the DLC.
Well, there you go.
I wasted money again, guys. Please help.
Now, full disclosure, just so people understand with us, we did get codes from Activision for all the DLC for free. Now, I bought mine. I gave mine away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No, I bought the DLC. I got the game for free, but I bought the DLC.
Yeah.
So I wasted money on the DLC.
Yeah. Well, full disclosure, I did get a code for the series, and I'll admit, it kept me playing more than I probably would have once other games came out. But I think the thing with Destiny, and Paris will understand this, is like, because we made the commitment now, we're here for the long haul because we want to see where the development is going to take this game. Because I do trust Bungie. You know, I've loved their games for years, and I do think that a year from now, Destiny will be something great, fantastic, something I can recommend to a lot of people. But I'm on board because, you know, I have, you know, my level 31 and a half warlock. I put hundreds of hours into the game. I enjoy the PvP still. And now I'm almost more excited because we were also bummed when there wasn't going to be a raid for Destiny. But now it's more like I'm more interested in the new content, in the Prison of Elders, in the Trials of Osiris, because it is something different. Because I'm so used to the motions of logging on Destiny, checking the weekly, the Nightfall, what Xur has, log off. It's just it's become so calculated and methodical, and I want to be excited to hop on May 19th and be, oh my god, what did they add new? So I've been trying to stay away from that information overload that is out there, which is great because, you know, a lot of people should see what they're going to get. You know, is it something enough to, you know, bring you back into Destiny, or is it something where it's like, I'm done with that game, I'm going to move on? But I love I think it's a gameplay thing. If you love the gameplay of a game that much, it's going to keep you playing no matter what comes. So I think maybe that's what they were looking at with Batman, because they knew based on the past two games from Rocksteady that on a gameplay level, Batman is fantastic. So I expect Arkham Knight to follow a similar path. So that's probably what they were thinking, is like, we know people like love the gameplay. How much do they love it? Do they love it enough to buy skins? They love it enough to buy extra characters, story DLC, that kind of stuff. So again, it also depends on how much do you love a certain game to stick with it. And I think Destiny is just special because it has that MMO aspects that are practically unheard of on most modern console games. For now, I think a lot of things will change as Destiny becomes more and more popular as the months go by.
I messed up, guys, so I'm not going to buy DLC like that ever again. I'm going to try not to.
Now I'll beat the game, let the credits roll, and then be like, do I want more of that? And then think about the DLC.
Yeah.
But I understand the hype. It is pretty infectious.
Hype, man. Can I go into my rant yet? Or
yes, you could go. All right, Paris, go with your rant. This is not Destiny talk, guys. Go for
it. Again, I got to be delicate with this. And
And
shout out to my man Robbie Joe, because I actually talked out this thing with him, and he enlightened me on a few things. Okay. So I'm driving to work the other day, and I'm just randomly thinking out loud. And out loud, what do I mean? Am I crazy? I wasn't thinking out loud. I'm just thinking, right? But the point is, I'm just thinking as I'm driving to work. And it kind of dawned on me. Now hear me out before everyone freaks out. Hate mail. Just send me hate mail now. Paris, gametagradio.com. Okay.
And now we all attack you too.
Yeah,
let him build his case first.
Yes.
So we know what's coming.
Yeah. I think this console generation is being held back by the Xbox One.
Oh my God, I don't agree with this. Well, okay,
I know you don't agree with this.
Ugh. Punch Danny in the face on the phone.
And my argument, and I've lessened my argument since from when I originally said it, because like I said, I talked it out and I see both sides of it. But here's my point. And, you know, people, you decide for yourselves. I'm just throwing this out here as something to think about. I believe what Microsoft did at the start of this generation with the Xbox One. And again, it all comes back to Kinect. You guys should know that with me. I was always against this thing. I think Microsoft wasted so much time, effort, and money developing that camera and going for the entertainment value of the Xbox One. They forgot about the actual hardware under your television needing to be powerful enough for gaming. And yes, it is powerful enough in that developers that work specifically on the Xbox One will be able to crank out some amazing titles. I fully expect Halo 5 to be amazing. I mean, etc. Game, you know, first party games on Xbox One should be fine. My Witcher. Issue. No, it's not a first party game. Listen, what? listen. You're not listening to me. Listen, I'm talking about first party games. They should be fine. That is not the argument here. But when it comes to third party, here's my argument. I feel that developers have to always look at what the lowest common denominator is, right? When it comes to a system, this was the same thing last generation. It's the same thing now. My issue is I feel like the gap between the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4, and obviously the PC is bigger than it was last generation. And the reason I bring that up is I feel that developers cannot waste the time, effort, and resources to pull the full power out of the Xbox One, which has already been admitted to be very hard to develop for due to the ESRAM and just the way that they design that system compared to what developing on a PlayStation 4 and a PC is. They're not going to be able to take the chances with third-party games that they probably could have if Microsoft would have stepped up and built a more powerful piece of hardware. That is my argument. I am not saying there won't be great games on the Xbox One or any other platform. There absolutely will be. First-party titles will be great. I think we could have seen more innovation across the board on third-party if developers had an easier, lower common denominator console in the Xbox One. And I blame it fully on Microsoft not focusing on gaming at the beginning of this generation and instead trying to become an entertainment platform. Now, Phil has done a great job redirecting the Xbox division, and they are now focusing on games. This is not a rant against 900p, 1080p frames per second. I could give two craps about this. This is about the third-party developers not being able to innovate this generation the way they possibly could have. I don't know about you, Danny or Poston, but I see people on Twitter all the time saying they're let down by this console generation so far. And I think by the time developers actually do figure out to get the full power out of the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, we're already going to be at the end of this console generation. It's going to be time to move on to the next one. And I blame that fully on Microsoft. Rant over. All right, everybody, we got a new sponsor this week on the show. We have DraftKings.com, and they are the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season, long commitments, instant cash, instant gratification. Now, I'm reading off the copy, obviously, but let me just talk it for a second. I'm a big fantasy sports junkie. I used to do MLB back in the day. I do fantasy football, NFL, all the time. DraftKings, just over the last couple of years, their name just kept popping up. So when they approached us and said they wanted to sponsor the show, I actually got kind of excited about it because I'm just thinking, wow, man, I go, these guys are really coming up. And just some of the information that I've been reading on about them for the last couple of days just goes to show you how big fantasy sports really is. And like I said, we're right in the middle of baseball season now. NFL is right around the corner. I would just tell you guys now, just go ahead and jump in. Check it out. I mean, we actually have a code. Matter of fact, let me give it to you right now. If you hurry to DraftKings.com right now and enter the promo code GAMERTAG, you get to play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Again, use that promo code GAMERTAG for your free entry now at DraftKings.com.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Okay, so very quick, Paris. I feel that it goes both. Like, it's Microsoft and Sony. Like, I feel that they rushed it.
Now they have Sony the consoles out. PS4?
I mean, they rushed it, but they learned the mistakes from the last console. But they rushed it too, because what innovation did I see from both consoles? I don't see it. I don't. I really don't. I see a little bit with Nintendo, but it's not enough for a lot of people to buy their console. Mm-hmm. But right now we're talking about the powerful ones, you know, PlayStation 4 and Xbox. Like, what innovation did I see from both consoles? I don't. I think that it all depends on the developers. Like, look, there's been a lot of exclusive deals with third-party games and Sony. What advantage those games had compared to the Xbox One, what, only graphic wise or 1080p or whatever, 900p? That's the only thing that I see the difference. So to say that is the Microsoft's fault for this, I just don't see it, man. I see it maybe both companies. I don't see like just, you know, blaming on just one, Microsoft. I just don't see that at all, man. So that's what I was trying to tell you. Now, another thing too, Paris, is that, look, I have all three consoles. I'm planning to get the new Witcher for the Xbox. And the reason why I'm getting it is because they're going to have, you know, first DLC and a couple of the things, whatever, you know, exclusive for the console. But you're trying to tell me that I'm not going to have fun, or I'm not going to see a huge difference compared to the past games that I played from the 360 or PlayStation 3 or 4. Like, you're going to see the difference, man. Like, besides the whole graphic thing, well, I'm going to have a good time. And it's open world. You're focusing maybe a little bit on, from that game, maybe on the graphic side.
I'm not talking about graphics at all. I care less about graphics. My point.
So what innovations you want?
Okay. Let me say it this way, because honestly, it's not an argument that I can prove. It's just a thought that I had, coupled with a conversation that we had with a developer offline that we can't talk about on the show. My argument is, this generation, this innovation of gaming, these open world games, just things that they could do, is it, the growth of it has been stunted because there's a piece of hardware that can't, that limits what they can do. Mm-hmm. I cannot prove this argument. This is just, again, my opinion. So I'm sure I will get destroyed for this in the comments this week on the podcast. This is just my opinion. I cannot prove this. It's just a theory that I have. I feel like if the Xbox One was a little easier to develop for and there was a little more under the hood, that means the lowest common denominator for gaming would be higher. Which means you could see, like we talk about Witcher 3, instead of it being 35 times, you know, bigger than Witcher 2, maybe it's 50 times bigger. You know what I mean? Maybe there's some new gameplay mechanic that developers would like to do, but we can't really pull that off on the Xbox One, so let's not even try it. We're going to waste too much time trying to develop for it. Let's not do it. You know what I mean? Things like that. And again, I can't prove it. This is just my opinion. This is just my thought process. And again, I bring all this back to it. I'm disappointed in what Microsoft did to start this generation. Are they trying to fix it? Absolutely they are. That's not my argument. But I just think that Xbox One should have been more than what it currently is. And that's my disappointment, because I feel like they wasted way too much time on that stupid camera and on trying to make this thing, you know, bread your toast, you know, butter your toast and open your refrigerator and do all this other nonsense instead of making it a game machine.
Yeah.
Because we have to move on. Okay. I just want to say something very quick. Blame Don Matrick.
Yep.
He left.
Yep.
Now Phil took over. There's nothing else they could do. They just got to go with what they have. And the thing is, we don't know what's coming for E3. We don't have no clue what new games are coming. Maybe E3, we see something crazy, innovative that we have never seen before, and it's going to change your opinion.
Well,
and
trust me.
There's all this.
Yeah. You know, trust me. You know, I hope I'm 100% wrong. I really do. Okay. I hope everyone can hop on Twitter and send us email and go, Paris, you are a beep, beep, beep idiot. I hope that happens. I really do.
Make that happen, guys, during E3. All right. So we got to move on. All right. So right now we're going to play this review from Paris. Paris, what you have for this week?
I'm reviewing an SSD drive from OCZ. It is the ARC100.
All right, so let's play it right now.
All right, back again this week with another hardware review. This time I want to talk about an SSD hard drive. I want to talk about the ARC100, or as I like to call it, the ARC100 from OCZ. I want to thank OCZ for providing this hard drive to us. It is the 480 gigabyte version of this hard drive. Now, in this review, I used it as my primary hard drive for my operating system, which was Windows 7, and I also used it for storage for gaming, and that included games on Steam and also on Origin. So, talking about this hard drive for a second, this is their entry level hard drive, the ARC-100, which basically means its read-write speeds are a little slower than some of the other SSD drives you may find out there on the market. But being brand new to SSD drives, I found it to be plenty fast. Just to give you the specs on that really quick. The read speed came in at 490 megabytes per second, and the write speed came in at 450 megabytes. Per second, which again, super fast from the hard drives that I've been using in the past. So going to SSD was just like an evolution to me. I just was amazed. Again, being on Windows 7, I go from hitting the power button to actually logging into Windows 7 within like 15 seconds. Just to give you a comparison, previously, my old PC, it was taking minute and a half before I was actually able to get into Windows 7 and have it actually working by the time everything loaded up. So going with gaming, again, just the load times are just lightning fast. I cannot stress that enough, how I'll bring up a game like Batman Arkham City or Bioshock Infinite, and you hit that load screen, and I'm just used to waiting, like, all right, we're going to have to wait here a minute. Maybe I'll go do something and come back and we'll load in. No, this thing says loading, and then boom, I'm in the level and ready to play. So if you're a budget gamer and you're looking to make that leap to SSD, I cannot recommend enough to pick up this ARC-100. And when I say budget, again, this, I think the ARC-100 is actually probably getting close to end of life, and because I know they're coming out. There's a 150 version out already, and I know a 180 version is about to come out very soon. And they all both have higher speeds as well. But price is a factor. And just doing a quick look before I did a recording of this, you can get this same 480 gigabyte ARC-100. If you do some smart shopping on Google, you can find this thing for under $100 right now, which for the speed versus the amount of storage that you're getting is a fantastic deal. I cannot recommend it enough to go pick it up at the budget price that you can find right now. Now, hopefully in the future, we'll be able to test out some of the higher speed SSD drives from OCZ, and we can do a comparison at that time. But I can say right now, being new to SSD drives, and just the speed difference that I'm seeing from our old traditional mechanical hard drives, this is just amazing. I'd also like to throw in this. OCZ was purchased by Toshiba. I forget exactly how long ago that was, but the warranty that OCZ now provides on their drives is fantastic. Basically, no questions asked. If you have an issue with this, they'll replace it. It's really that simple. So again, this is the OCZ ARC-100. It's the 480 gigabyte version. Like I said, if you do some Googling, you can find this thing right now for under $100. I do believe I saw it specifically on Tiger Direct with some mail-in rebates for $70. But it is a fantastic buy. It may not be the fastest SSD drive out there on the market right now, but if you're trying to ball on a budget like I try to ball on a budget, this is absolutely an SSD drive that you can pick up and increase your gaming speeds dramatically. This is Paris, Gamertag Radio. I'll send it back to the show.
All right, so we're back. Paris, thanks for the review. I think we have to go to the next topic, Paris, because running out of time. It's cool.
Yeah. Okay. I would just say balling on a budget, but keep going. Yeah,
that price is amazing. you can't knock that.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so let's go with fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we have two questions. Guys, send us questions. Send us some good questions for us to talk about. So fan mail at gamertagradio.com. One more time. All right, so Possum, what's the email that we have here?
All right, so this one comes out from Cameron Cooper. Shout out to Cameron. But he says, hey guys, just wanted to ask you a general question about the upcoming E3 event. I've been to Comic-Con a few times, and I know how ridiculous it is to get a ticket there. I've never been to an E3 event before, and I've been wanting to go for the past few years, and I've been looking online for tickets and just can't find any. I recently saw a blog on a website where someone said you had to be associated or work closely within the gaming industry to get in. Is this true, or is there a place you can go to get tickets / a pass? I do understand it's probably way too late to go this year, but how do you get to go?
Well, I believe, yes, there's different ways. Like if you have a blog or you work in the gaming industry, or if you work on the retail industry too, you could also attend. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're just a regular person and just want to attend just like that, they do sell tickets, but they're not cheap. I believe the last time I checked, maybe between $700 to $900 just to get 10 E3. Mm-hmm. So you could do that. I mean, if you really want to. I honestly will say this. When you go to this type of event, it's not an event that you go like PAX and you know you play all these games. And no, trust me, when we go to these events, we hardly play any games. Mm. So
a lot of walking,
we go there,
a lot of working,
a lot of walking, a lot of interviews. Like our voice becomes like pretty bad by the end of the week, and that's all we do. We don't spend time to play. Like I really. Maybe last year, how many games we actually played? It was like maybe like less than 5 or 10, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I don't even remember playing a game.
It wasn't honestly, it wasn't even much because the majority of time is the developers are playing the game and they're talking or they show videos. And sometimes you go to like a different booth, like let's say Microsoft or a PlayStation, you could go there and play. But trust me when I say this, if you're like doing like the whole blogging and podcasting or YouTube, you know, you're not going to have that much time to play, man, over there. Like, you just go see and walk around. That's the majority. Yeah.
Matter of fact, the only game I played was Ori, and Phil yelled at me to get off his game.
Oh, yes. He did. I forgot about that.
But to go on what you were saying, honestly, the better venue to go to is PAX. It really is. Yeah, whether it be PAX Prime East or PAX South now, I would just go there. It is a more community-focused event surrounded by fellow gamers. That's where I would go. E3 is business. I mean, it's us trying to cover the games, doing interviews, and there are actual retailers talking to the publishers, making business deals. That's what E3 is all about.
Yeah. I think last year we saw some girl dressed up. I was like, this is not the place.
Yeah, man.
Like cosplay type? Nah, E3 is not for that at all.
There was a few years there where it started to go that route, and that's when they kind of, we're going to cancel Booth Babes and all that. Happened, and then they kind of scaled it back a little bit. I am worried about it going back that way, but yeah, definitely right now, no. It's not. Nah, go to PAX.
All the flair is still there for sure. By the way, I got it at a direct price. If you want to pay to get in, it's $995 for 3-day pass. So definitely a rich man's hobby for sure. So
and even then, you're not going as media, so you're not getting behind closed doors. You're waiting in lines the whole time. You're not going to the Xbox press conference. You're not going to Sony press conference, Bethesda, anything. You know, so keep that in mind, too. You're literally just going to be standing in lines and your feet are going to hurt all day. That's
it's like being
in
Six Flags is what it is. Six Flags.
You're going to be really cranky by the end of the week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next question. Question for Paris?
Well, why don't you read it to me? Should I read my own question?
Let me see. All right. This is from Steven. He's from Scotland. Shout out to Steven. This question is for Paris. Why Paris? Why him? Anyways, as a PC gamer, what are your thoughts on the Steam pay for mods, even though it's been now removed? Do you think it was a good idea have people make money on their own work, or should mods always be free? Also, for everyone else, with Windows 10, do you think PC mods would ever make their way to Xbox One?
Okay, Danny, since you wanted a question, you answer it then.
That's a good question, too.
You were wondering why he asked me. See why he asked me? Because you're
waiting to see. Answer this question.
So no. But to answer the question, and thank you for the email, Steven. I think in theory, yes, modders should be paid. And I think Valve had very good intentions by doing what they were doing. But as we saw from the backlash from it, I think they rushed to it. They should have eased people into this versus just going, basically hitting a switch and going, all right, these modders can get paid now. And then you had all these other people going, wait, what? Now we got to pay? It's a delicate situation that I feel eventually, yes, these modders, especially if you play Skyrim and like Fallout New Vegas and some of those kind of games that have all these mods on, they are freaking amazing. Some of the things that people are doing. Hell, even Minecraft. They've recreated Westeros, all the Game of Thrones like on Minecraft. It is insane. So it's like, do I think those people should get compensated? Absolutely, I do. It's just... And like I said, I understand what Valve was trying to do. They tried to set up some structure for it. It just got rejected because it felt like it was being forced on people versus people actually being eased into it. So I think it'll come back at some point. Just not right now.
What about the second question?
Yeah, to answer his Windows 10 question, I think it just depends on the game, to be honest, especially with the direction that Microsoft is going now. They seem to be a lot more open in supporting those kind of things. And the fact that they're integrating the Xbox One into Windows 10 as well, it's going to be pretty seamless to be able to pull something like that off. They would even be able to kind of somewhat control the mods that are coming to the Xbox One, I would feel. So I'm not going to say every game, but I could see certain games being able to get mod support.
And I see a big edge there over, like, for instance, if you put an Elder Scrolls 6 or 7, whatever number on there on now, on both Xbox One and PS4, but Xbox One has mod support from PC.
Yeah.
That's a huge system seller right there, because console gamers, mods are like cheat codes to us. It's just some magical thing that, you know, we never get anymore because trophies and achievements and online. That would be huge. I would love for them to develop that. But again, it's all up to them and Microsoft and how restrictive they want to be. And I just got their opinion here real fast, because that was a great question, because it really divided the whole PC community. But the paying for mods, yeah, I agree with Paris. If you put that kind of dedication and work in, you should be rewarded, because that's how you get things like Portal and Left 4 Dead and Counter-Strike and countless other games that were born out of fans and how much they love their games and how much dedication they're willing to put into those games. And I just think the problem was they started with Skyrim, which is probably like the biggest existing development mod community on PC, on Steam, and that was just a wrong choice, because they're going into territory they probably didn't fully understand, and the backlash was so vicious because that was such a dedicated modded community from the beginning, and now some were being shut out because they were not agreeing with Valve. And I just think they should try it again, but they need to do it slower, implement it slower, and pick a newer game, like, you know, whatever the next Elder Scrolls is or the next Fallout 4, for example. Then you look at bringing that back and announce it way in advance. Just don't say, surprise, this is a thing now. That was the problem.
Okay, so I think we're gonna wrap it up, guys, for this week, and next week we can have more content, more questions, hopefully, from if the fans send us email. And I think P will be back, and we can have the whole full squad. And we
I
have
don't
to
know about that.
You don't think so?
He is in Tallahassee, Florida right now, and he's at Doak Campbell Stadium. And if he does what he says he's going to do, he ain't coming back.
I forgot about that. All right. Anyways, guys, head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play.it. I'm still laughing about it. All right, so head over to GameTagRadio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes and make sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, all that good stuff. And give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail at GameTagRadio.com. Witcher, coming soon. Can't wait. Hopefully we have a full review before E3 and all that stuff. So anything else, guys?
Derrick Rose beat the Cavs with a 3 at the buzzer.
Ooh, okay. Possum.
Go Hawks. We're on the NBA train.
All right. All right. Until next week, we are out. Peace.
Peace.
Later.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.